G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. Today on the show, it's the questions out of round 8. If you haven't subscribed, wherever you listen to your podcast, please do that. Leave us a rating, leave us a review, tell your mates. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellis and Ryan Daniels. Questions, mailbag out of round 8.
I want to ignore the fact that you stuffed the intro 4 times and you're going to go straight into it, Zay, quickly.
Yeah, just quickly, if you do want to, because people go, oh, how do you, just send them via Instagram, whatever it is.
DM,
just throw them in there.
Hardballgets@wanews.com.au.
I don't think
they're
having trouble finding them. I've got a book here to read.
Yeah, but I've had a few people hit me up and say, I always forget. It's just thinking there's something really official. Okay. Just throw them in there.
Definitely not official. Okay, Tom Dawson to kick us off. Question for Xavier.
Yeah.
When an AFL player gets fined for an on-field incident, does their club ever pay it on their behalf? For example, if the coach asks them to do something that results in a fine or even a fine from a football act that is harsh on the player. Thanks, Tommy Dawson.
I played the fifth.
Take it. So-and-so, I'll pay you 10 grand.
No, I would say, so this is typically how it goes. I got done a couple of times. The footy manager goes, bad luck, mate, sign this. And it just gets taken out of your pay.
Yep.
So the club obviously pays that and then you get it deducted there. But I'm certain that in cases that, you know, a tagger or someone might have been in a skirmish and it might have been
they throw the hat around.
Paid by the player or something, or, you know, do a clinic here and there's an opportunity. Sure. But, yeah, I'm certain that clubs, and I've never been, it's never been in for me, but I'm sure that if you're a tagger and you're fighting every week, you're doing the team thing. You shouldn't be getting slung.
That's true.
$3,000 every week.
All right, Toddy, it's either Butters or Butters. We'll go with Butters. There's only one T, so I'm going to go with Butters either way. Hi, guys. Heaps has been said about how shit North are at the moment, so let's discuss how they could get better. I think it's pretty obvious that just getting more players in through the draft won't help. They need a more experienced player, someone who can almost act as an on-field coach, someone with experience, leadership, and as much as anything else, knowledge about the habits of a winning team. From North's perspective as well, you'd prefer him to be either Victorian or already based in Victoria, so they're either coming home or staying where they already are. You'd prefer him to be a defender to shore up the weakest line and ideally a free agent so you don't have to give up any picks. Looking at the Hodge and Mitchell moves, we can see the profile of a club that might go for this sort of thing, a fading dynasty that has faced the fact that they need to move on from their senior players. With all that said, what do you think of the idea of Grimes to North Melbourne?
I was about to say Grimes when he was going through that.
Could potentially be a big win-win-win. North get on-field leadership, Grimes get a big retirement fund booster thanks to North's fabled war chest, and if the contract is big enough, the Tigers get a first-round compo to accelerate the rebuild. Who says no, and what sort of contract gets it done?
Don't mind that. But they already tried this with Liam Shields, right?
Well, yes, but the Pups also was there to do actual coaching. He'd retired.
Plus, I think Grimes as a key defender and something they sorely lack.
That's why when you think of Freo last year now in Sydney, we spoke about him 2 minutes ago, the Fremantle defender.
Hanley.
Like, why wouldn't you just thrown a bone to him for a couple of years as at least he would play?
Yeah.
Common's been a reasonable fine there. But also the part about being Victorian's irrelevant because, like, Hodgie went from Victoria to Brisbane. Mitchell went from Victoria to
Perth.
It's almost more appealing, right, because they get out of their comfort zone.
Bit of fresh life. Yeah, rather than going to your next-door neighbour.
And then they could always come back if they want to when they're ready to coach or whatever.
It's like an affair. Rather than going to the next-door neighbour, you've gone international. You've gone a whole different variety.
Pendlebury's been mentioned.
He has.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, Collingwood aren't ready to give up Pendlebury.
No, but if at the end of the year he's thinking, I'll do one more year. I don't mind the Grimes thing. Adam Goodwin, listening to the mailbag, have a look into the deregistration. Stephen Baker, ex-Saint, got deregistered once he retired and his AFL suspensions were included.
Right.
We've been asking the same question, Ari Toby, with my mates. Rhino needs to get some scoop on the rules around it. This was in regards to the Toby Green question.
I thought he was going to clarify it there, but then he just asked
he didn't clarify. He just confused it further. So,
but did Baker do anything off in his local days to top him?
I don't know.
Or did he deregister immediately?
Sounds like it all counted and then he did something in there.
All right. Tim McGrath, in every Hawks game except Collingwood, the expected score, we remember that, has given a better result to Hawthorn. And in 5 games, the swing has been more than 20 points, including a 50-point swing against Sydney. How much has Hawthorn's inaccuracy and their opponent's accuracy affected the opinion on their season? And expected score should account for shot quality. So it's not that they're just giving the opponents easy chances.
Yes, that was the first time I watched the game and I thought, this is a step up from what they did last year.
Mm.
Which I think a lot of people thought that or expected it to be for every single game. Yesterday was the first time. I mean, they were put under the pump early, 3 goals in 90 seconds or 3 minutes or whatever it was in the end. And then late, the Doggies went bang, bang, and they steadied. I thought it showed a bit of maturity. I think they've actually probably been pretty poor, to be honest.
So it's not an expected score.
I think to the eye, like Sydney, the bit that pissed me off about the Sydney game was there was one stage we were going forward and there was a reversal. That's what it was, a reversal. Chole, Hardwick's having a shot, reversal, bang down the other end, goal. Now, that's a two-goal swing.
That can't
again,
happen.
It just kills you. And then they went bang again before you knew it was the game was over. And I was like, we were having a shot to get within a goal. And now it's out to 20 points at quarter time.
So it's not expected.
And they're going to hit him now because James Sicily's going to jump out and say, boo.
Okay, Sean Jasper, one for the mailbag this week. Love the pod and all that. Now, I feel like the whole AFL industry is changing to better protect players and their well-being. We are changing rules and expectations of gameplay, which changes the product, and for the most part, we accept those changes. So am I right to be pissed off as a fan when I see players still ducking heads and inviting high contact in order to get a kick? Reed looked a bit shaken up after he sucked Durham into the kick on a Saturday, and he is not alone in dropping the knees and raising the arm. How can we be serious about head knocks when players get rewarded for getting hit high? Thanks, legends. Must say the hardball get vibes are off the charts this year. Thank you very much, Shawnee.
I tell you what I reckon the worst rule introduction or change has been. I think it's starting to affect head knocks and collisions and suspensions is the inability to slide. You know, you know, free kick now below the knees.
Oh, yes.
Because we had one broken leg in 5 years. Mm. It was like, oh, this needs to be banned. Mm. Now, everyone's head, is it hip level.
Yeah.
Whereas when you could slide, you could protect yourself with your body. Mm. Like I still remember going in as a youngster at Hawthorn. On our day off, we had tarps oiled up on the ground and just to practice sliding in and protecting yourself.
That's interesting.
I just reckon now everyone's head is at bang level.
Yeah.
And you're running into knees. Where a lot of the time, if you can go down and slide.
Yep.
So rather than my head being, so I'm suing it to Rhino, like you're coming at me, the first point of contact, I'm turning like that. And my foot's there, my knee's there, my hip's there, the ball's here, my shoulder's there. And it just protects you from getting hit. And I just reckon the one broken leg every now and then has now made people stay on their feet, which the coaches, now they say keep your feet. But back then, Clark was like, slide in, get up, get going.
You are. There are a lot of people getting, that's the head knocks and the suspension stuff, isn't it? They're all on their feet, bent over.
Yeah, like the crouch ones, the butters ones.
Bring back the slide.
Bring back the slide.
That's what I think.
Bring back the slide. They don't even pay it anymore when it's
there.
That's
just my opinion.
Josh Edwards, did you guys see the NFL draft last week and how many father-son academy picks that teams got? That's right, there was zero because it's an incredibly insane idea. The idea that your dad played for a club 20 years ago gives them priority access to you is ridiculous. In an age where equalisation is always a hot topic, should the AFL get rid of father-son and academies and go straight down the middle where you finish on the ladder, so indicative of the picks you get? I already know Ryan will say he loves father sons because he's a journo and it's a great story.
Well, what about the deer story yesterday?
Beautiful. But this blatant nepotism needs to stop somewhere. For context, the Detroit Lions went 30 years without making the playoffs and the NFL did nothing to help them. The Bears and Browns have been terrible.
Well, they couldn't keep Megatron and they had Matt Stafford. I was a Detroit man.
So what he's saying is man.
Megatron.
So Josh is basically saying
his prime wasn't available.
Was so good.
No priority picks, no academies, no father sons, just a
clean draft.
Bloody draft.
I know, but there's also something in me that when you go down to Dacos that he's had 85 wines and he's getting interviewed post game about his two boys.
Yeah.
There's a part of that I love. And I know that they can still do that at Essendon, but it's not Peter Dacos at Collingwood. It's not
maybe they impose a limit over a 5-year stretch. So you can only bid on three.
So you've got to forecast what's happening over the next five.
You've got to have a real breeding program.
What's Seth Rocker's kid like? Is he any good?
He's big.
All of a sudden we've got Hodgie's 13-year-old on the bench press doing max bench. So we don't know where you're headed.
And then you want a full like Chinese swimming program breeding program.
But academies,
line them up with athletes.
I'm torn because I love the father-son rule for the romance and I hate it for the ridiculous unfairness it is just because of a random genetic lottery.
We all put our hand up and say, the academies are the worst things in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Except for a couple of northern clubs.
There's not a league in the world that manufactures equality like the AFL tries to. Everyone else, it's just good luck. In fact, most clubs go against it. There's no salary cap. Off you go. Yeah.
But even the fact that the clubs can't spend more money than others
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, bad luck, West Coast. You're shit. And you can't use the money you've got.
The AFL would counter and say, well, it's we still have any club can win a flat. I don't even think that's the case anyway.
Well, it certainly won't be in 10 years' time when Tassie are in. And then, of course, the Gold Coast selections, the 85 of them start.
Do we have an email of the week yet? Because Josh might have won it. Darren Cunningham. G'day, guys.
Handshake.
Love the pod. Curious on Liam Ryan's footy right now. I popped past a session in December and his effort in running drills was diabolical, beaten by coaches in 400-metre efforts. I know when the balls are out, he gets going, but the lack of effort on the conditioning front has left him in a worrying spot about having played much footy for a long period of time. The week-to-week, year-to-year match fitness could be lost in that year and he is going to need a lot of time and work on his end to get back. At his best, he's a gun, but on Saturday night, he did not look AFL standard, especially defensively. How can he dig deep and get himself going again to add to his highlight reel?
I missed who we're talking about.
Liam Ryan. Look, Liam, you know this, Dave. Liam Ryan, not the best trainer. When the footies are out, looks unbelievable. Not a huge runner. Likes to, runs at the back of the pack, often walking laps. Not really that interested in
doing that stuff.
He'd be 27 or 8 now.
At a club that was higher on the ladder.
Yep.
I reckon Liam Ryan would have done a month at Waffle.
Yep.
Or State League.
Yep.
I think purely because he would have been able to go 60 minutes.
Yep.
80 minutes. Mm-hmm. Full game. Then all of a sudden, forgetting that he's walking or jogging 400s in December, he's actually done 250 minutes of high-intensity football, ticked all the boxes, you're fitter, but he got raced in.
Hello, Ryan. This is from John Hogan. Jesus, come straight at me. I was also offended by the idea that the Eagles' young guns had punched Freo in the face in the derby.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so I think what he's
referring to,
a long email. I think what he's referring to is the Brayshaw thing, but not just that I asked Brayshaw the question, but that I said that the Eagles were younger. They got punched by the young Eagles.
Because they weren't younger.
Right. Yes, there was one who played an uplifting role, and he was sixth for the Eagles on the AFL website list for points. But yo, a young gun. Kelly, a young gun. Waterman, a young gun. McGovern, a young gun. Cripps, Barris, Duggan, Darling. None of these are young guns because five had more impact than Reed, and all these guys have more impact than the next young gun in Jimby. Pretty sure if you looked at the comparison of the two sides on that day, the Eagles were a way more experienced team than the one Freo put out. Yes, is it tiring to hear the lack of understanding from overseas commentators regarding Freo's general inexperience, particularly in key posts up forward, and the number of injuries impacting their backline so far this year. Surely those close to home can be more accurate about these things.
Get the facts straight, mate.
As well as you get your foot out of your mouth. The Eagles' resurgence has been built on their experienced core, who are now fit and firing, fueled, excited by Harley Reid and what he is adding right now, but more on what he promises to come. And whether intended or not, the punch in the mouth comment was plain stupid, irresponsible, or thoughtlessness, and your apology should be unreserved, not qualified. It doesn't matter if you didn't intend to be offensive. It doesn't matter if many have used that comment over the years. We understand that it might just be habit. It is now inappropriate, generally, and particularly given the player. Okay, move on.
I think we went early on email of the week.
I'm glad you asked what the prize was.
Has anyone ever banged on more about Freo being one of the youngest teams in the comp than me?
No, I must say, because
you always give me shit about being in the tent. I'm constantly saying that.
We all understand that Ryan is
in the tent.
Are you on the payroll?
No.
Pig's ass.
Vince.
Anyway, so
events are separate.
That was
that's a different payroll.
Well, in that case, I'm on the payroll for everything.
So, so if that was the attitude towards you, I can't imagine what I'm getting towards me.
Okay,
and that was me on ChatGTP, by the way.
I thought so. Yeah, as if. All right, quick fire. Let's go. Really quick on these ones because we've got some conspiracy corners to get to.
Nice.
Okay, Richter 23. When does Bevo go?
Call the press conference this week. We've seen that draw.
I'd say not this year.
I reckon he maybe the end of the year, depending on how things play out. Zave, this is from Matt Scarps. Yep. Players who play their old team, do they give their game plan away?
Yes.
So when you played Hawthorn first time West Coast,
right?
There's no real surprises anyway.
See Hendo 21.
Really quickly, I love it when the coach goes from one club to other, and you see who they tag though.
Oh yeah,
who they match up on.
Yeah. What's Hayden Young's ceiling? Last quarter stoppage goal on non-dominant foot was elite.
That was outrageous.
Everything on his right was unbelievable.
Mm. There was that one cutting through the middle as well.
His ceiling is
all Australian,
multiple all Australians,
club champ. Yeah. Mm. Alex Gardner 1. How long can Bevo and Hinkley make it through the year? Who's around to take over from them? Well, Carr is the one at Port Adelaide,
but Hinkley only re-signed last year.
Yeah, but only for a short period, wasn't it? Two years or something.
But that's why I think if Bevo calls it himself early, he's a contender for those other roles. Like, he can keep himself in
straight
the picture
into another
for
one.
Other head coaching
gigs. Hardwick.
Yeah, like a Hardwick. Okay. Like,
that's a dimmer.
The power's in his hands.
They're both under the pump but at varying levels. Mims 6059. Is Tassie team already better than North and Gold Coast without playing a game? Who's going to win a flag first? Tassie, North, or the Gold Coast?
Tassie. The Jack Jump. Jack Jumpers DNA.
It has to
Gold
be.
Gold Coast still has the high-end talent.
It has to be. Yeah, now the Jack Jumpers are 15 years back.
I think Mims has been a little facetious.
No, but I enjoy it, though. Yeah.
Alex
Great
Paul,
message.
Does Nick still think Paul Ahern's ceiling is all Australian?
Oh, I saw that come
Great
through.
Reference. Great
that
reference.
That is a deep cut.
That's a long-time listener. First-time caller.
That was a vibe. Yeah.
Jacob Honig, did Nick watch a single minute of footy over the weekend?
I actually watched a fair bit of footy on the weekend.
Okay. How many minutes? Have you had to put it over 100?
Yeah, it was over 100. Okay. I watched like two or three full games.
JJ Simpson, Clayton Oliver returns to form. X just goes off him when he doesn't produce in his multi for possessions.
I've got him in my fantasy side.
Yeah.
I'm a Clayton Oliver man. I back him every week as well.
Last week, though.
If he had another poor game, I was saying have a rest and get going.
Okay, Plappies. Plappy says, who's the better South Australian team at the moment?
Neither.
That's a very good
nil
question.
Or draw.
Yeah, it's a nil or draw.
I think it's Port.
Whose season goes longer? It's Port's, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Wagner. Will Gold Coast ever update the Microsoft Word created kits?
Oh, please. Please. We've been banging this drum for a while.
They are so basic.
Hey, what are you talking about? They went in the blue variety overnight.
I hate the blue even worse.
Azovic, what should the Eagles do this week against Collingwood with already having to make 3-4 changes? Did they rest some of the seniors and bring in the kids? And what would be a pass mark for them this weekend? Aaron Adriasevich, J is silent.
The kids are all playing.
There's not much there. They haven't got a great deal of kids, which is why they're still drafts away.
It's around the mark.
They're still drafts and drafts. Because as we heard from the long letter, West Coast aren't young yet.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're very old. Tizare Niasha, who is more likely to debut this week, Archer Reid or Cohen Livingston as Waterman is out? I would say neither. I'd say Marek just comes in. I don't think those guys are ready.
Yeah, Marek was out, mate, yes. Yeah.
Those guys aren't ready. He's watching all that footy.
Late change.
I watched the last quarter of that
game. Little 80, can we give the Eagles didn't want Martin idea a rest?
I'm the one who says that.
Yeah,
but he trained at their preseason. Yeah, they didn't want him.
But he'd been injured at the time.
He'd been injured. He was not this player, and he's a star now.
But you can't not say
shut up,
Frey. Three firsts from Freo for Shea Bolton. Who says no?
Oh, we've been through that.
Richmond says no. Liam Andrews, how to Port Adelaide take the next step? Been doing the same thing for five years, not working. Ree Hens, is Jake Soligo the key Crows next step forward?
Yes.
Poorly written, but absolutely.
No, poorly written. Don't worry. Beautiful question.
Lucky Live, what's the roof for Jack Williams? Discussed that in yesterday's
podcast.
Now I know where he got his question from.
I've
been reading these, you dog.
Sounds like he's done research.
I
put that up after I do my thing.
Is JL fair in his assessment of the way Amos is umpired? He did this too.
Look, I'm just a man of the people.
You're a joke.
I've got my finger on the pulse of
what
the football
public. What a disgrace
public.
You are. Did EV3001, did everyone get up in arms too early about Gold Coast's draft last year? No, I think the draft's good.
I think the team's 10 wins, that's this.
Wilbur 36, so how long does Hawkins go goalless before the bloke banging down the door in the VFL gets in?
Who's that? Oh, Neil.
No, it won't. I think it
Hawkins
might.
Doesn't get dropped.
You're not
might
drop
get a rest
Hawkins.
Next
rest
week.
Something.
We've called that next week already. Mitchie, has the Suns taken two steps back? Yes.
No, they're exactly where they were.
Okay. Mm. All right. Black Licorice Poker. This weekend has some interesting interpretation of the stand rule. My question is, crap, that's a 50. Good. Oh. He didn't get through it.
Yeah.
I see what he did there.
Nice.
Adam
good
Bell,
like
mark
it.
Differential in the Q clash has me thinking it is a coaching failure. Suns couldn't touch it. And Hungry Heracross, has anyone on the pod ever lost an over-under bet as early as Ryan Daniels?
Which one's that?
I reckon he's referring to Geelong, is it?
But I think I went Richmond over, so okay. that's even worse.
We've got a couple of minutes left for Conspiracy Corner.
All right.
Okay.
All right, this one is from Mitch Gill.
I like the music.
Hi guys, long-time listener, first-time conspiracy theorist. My conspiracy is that the AFL Snicko, in brackets Edge, they use for score reviews is not real and is generated on the spot to support goal umpires' decisions that are a tight call. They will go to 10 blurry, pixelated images first to see if the ball has hit the post, when surely a quick look at the AFL Snicko would be quicker and more determinate. The Snicko always comes in about 30 seconds after they've started the review, giving the arc enough time to generate the graphic if required. No stats on this, but I swear the Snicko usually supports the goal umpire's original decision on the close ones when you can't tell, especially for background noise when the Snicko graphic is compared to the cricket Snicko. There is almost no background noise displayed on the AFL Snicko, while there is background noise on the cricket. Surely the AFL has more background noise than the cricket. P.S. I am not a crackpot. Cheers, boys.
Love the pod. He's my favourite conspiracy.
Thoroughly enjoy and well written. It's like the cricket too. Like the cricket, they go, all right, let's see whether he snicked it first for 15 minutes. Just go to see whether it hits the bloody stumps first. We don't hit the stumps, it doesn't matter. It's like that. Don't worry about showing me those stupid little things that no one can see. Just show me the Snicko.
It is a bit weird that they don't bring the Snicko up till later. No, I thought that from time to time.
It's like the cricket.
Just bring it up straight away.
Just show me whether it's hitting the stumps. Yeah. I don't care.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I like this.
Because it's not real.
It's funny how most of the conspiracies are around the goal umpiring. Okay, we've got one more conspiracy.
We're back again. Let's go.
Tyler Binnington. A mate from, he didn't fill that in, from somewhere, has an idea about Harley Reid's rest that could be plausible.
Tongala, let's go with it.
He thinks that the Eagles gave him a contract, then sent him back to Victoria to discuss it with his family. Thoughts?
Oh.
Look, my understanding of the Harley Reid situation...
We're not allowed to talk about the contract with Ryan.
Is that, no, it's a touchy subject.
It's an open conversation. It's an open conversation. He knows West Coast would like him to sign a 20-year deal.
Yeah.
Does he want to sign that right now? It's probably not the right time for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's as far along as a conspiracy theory, him taking a contract physically back to Tongala. Mm. Plus, I think he can do that on the phone these days.
No. I think the town of Tongala is so invested, it's a town hall meeting.
Yeah. At the local hall with those everybody old floorboards.
You know
hear
what
the
it'll be?
Go clink, clink, clink.
It'll be when they build a HJ's in Tongala.
Yeah, this
is when you'll know.
Just for the last minute, can you just turn that music up once again?
Conspiracy theory.
Am I right in saying... that maybe you might be reaching out a little bit to Harley Reid's manager and you may have offered to take him out for dinner one night?
No. Where did you get this rubbish from?
It's just a conspiracy going around town.
It's also not a conspiracy theory.
Well,
it's just a question.
It's a theory. It's a theory. We'll take that.
All right. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you later in the week for the Quick 9. Catch you then.